Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I am your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries, and with me as always is President and Founder of Good Fight Ministries and Pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, man. Jesus is on the throne.
Amen, amen. And as always, as well with us is Tony Palacio, the show's producer. How are you doing today, bro?
I am blessed in the Lord.
Praise God, praise God. Now, this is the second part of a two-part series of an answer to an open rebuke to Joe Schimmel and Good Fight Ministries. And I got to start off with his clip where he says who this open rebuke exactly, precisely who it's to. So let's start us off with that.
This is a rebuke to Joe Schimmel.
Dramatic pause.
At Good Fight Ministries. This is an open rebuke. And to all you out there that are listening to this individual and following this individual, it's a rebuke to you too.
So that's right. It's not just a rebuke to Joe. It's not just a rebuke to those behind the scenes with Good Fight Ministries. It is also a rebuke to all those who listen, all the 106,000 people we got on our YouTube channel, the 50-plus thousand people we have on Facebook. It's a rebuke to you, too, for even listening to us. So what we want to do is give answers to his critiques. Now, in the first episode, we showed his hypocrisy. We showed some of the ways he really wasn't thinking things through that he said. And today, on this episode, what I want to do is for us to go over the scriptures that he tries to use to refute Good Fight Ministries as a whole. So let's actually go to a clip here. And the text we'll be dealing with today with Pastor Joe Schimmel will be from Ephesians 5:11-13. And I believe we'll probably even touch on 14 and all over the scriptures. But let's get the first clip going.
I want to share with you a scripture or two here to help you. I hope it opens your eyes. Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Do you have to know what they're doing to reprove them? Do you have to look at the actual details of what they're doing to reprove them?
So, Joe, do you have to know? Do you have to look at it? What do you think?
Well, if you're going to refute something, if you're going to expose something, you need to have enough detail. At least you need to give enough of an understanding of what's wrong before you're going to have any credibility with, you know. I mean, a lawyer will go through days, weeks sometimes to prove a case and to expose a prosecuting attorney, for instance. The interesting thing here is that we're called to the Greek word right there, by the way, Ephesians 5:11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The Greek word actually means to expose. It's an interesting word. It's elenko. And elenko means literally to convince. This is from the lexicons, to convince with solid, compelling evidence, especially to expose. So we're an apologetics ministry and a discernment ministry at Good Fight. And apologetics means giving an answer for everyone who has a question regarding the hope that is in you. And we seek to win the lost. And by the grace of God, He's given us favor, not by our own doing, but all to His glory. We've seen a lot of people. We've constantly seen people come to Christ. We all in our fellowship and around Simi Valley and roundabout and throughout the world, you know, we run into people that have come to Christ and been affected by our ministry. In fact, we just had an Israel trip a couple months back, and Tony was laughing. A lot of people were laughing because people, you know, we're not, you know, sometimes we're just around other people, but they either recognized us or recognized my voice, and they would come up and over again and share how the ministry had impacted them and got them more excited about Jesus, or how they grew in the Lord and were blessed and so forth. So we're grateful to see that fruit, but a lot of that fruit comes from simply glorifying Jesus, lifting him up, who is the light of the world, and lifting his light, the floodlight of his word, on the works of darkness that are captivating, seducing people, deceiving people. They don't see the poison. We show the poison. We show the poison. And so we're called to expose the works of darkness. And by the way, again, like I said in the last show, this is not a suggestion either. This is a command. We're commanded to expose the darkness. Now, by the way, we looked at his channel, and he does a whole lot of exposing of darkness. Sometimes he'll play a whole clip of darkness and not say anything about it. We'll never do that. You talked about Jim Carrey, for anybody who missed the last show, and he just plays like 5 minutes of it or whatever. Lets Jim Carrey talk, indoctrinate people into believing that God is in everyone, and that's not even in the title of his deal. And then he talks about this exposing them, but he has a nun on there, an ex-nun, talking about rooms filled with skulls and nuns that had their teeth knocked out, and I guess she got hers knocked out, she said, and chained to walls, 19 torture rooms and stench because they're dying, and you know, rooms full of babies' skulls and all that. And as you're listening to this, it's like he's got this woman preaching at some church or at his church, or I don't know if it's a pastor or what, but I'm like, wow.
If it is, it's not. But
the hypocrisy. Yeah. I just thought, wow, this guy is doing the very thing he's condemning. Now, for me, it's not sin because I know what the scriptures say. I know I'm commanded to expose darkness. We're seeing a lot of fruit from it. But if he thinks it's sin to expose darkness and he's doing it, the guy must be very, very conflicted. And like I said last show, I prayed for the guy. Prayed that he would, you know, his eyes would be open to his hypocrisy and so forth. I don't have any personal grudge, you know. You can say as much against me as you want because they crucified my Lord. You know, they spat upon him. They killed most of the apostles, you know, and we'll suffer for righteousness' sake, Jesus said, and all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So for me, it was not effectual. Even when someone said, I mentioned last show, and you guys said, oh, you should check this out. You know, we're going to do a show on it. That's the only reason I checked it out. And when he said, I didn't believe in the rapture, I realized, okay, this guy's already a false witness without credibility, because we believe, we've been debating on the timing of the rapture. We certainly believe in the rapture. You couldn't debate on its timing if you didn't believe it existed. We believe it. We just so happen to believe it comes when Jesus returns. He catches us up, I mean, in the air. But it's crazy because he specifically, the scripture he first cites commands us to expose evil. Now, I will say this. You can go overboard. And the irony, though, is that when we show videos, I mean, we've exposed abortion, the abortion mills, and they sold their souls. We've exposed them in Planned Parenthood. We've exposed Harry Potter and how J.K. Rowling is hearing voices and she dictates her narrative through those voices, and it's demonic and what the scriptures say about that. We use the light of God's word to show these things as evil so people come out of darkness to light. We've had a video called the Kinsey Syndrome, which all kinds of people were blessed by because they had no idea how evil this is and how he was going after little kids and having pedophiles keep sex diaries and so forth. It's hard to expose those things, but you have to talk about them. It's hard. Video that silent scream, that must have been hard for that person to put out. But when people started seeing it, guess what? They didn't want to kill babies anymore. They didn't want to champion liberal causes of supporting Planned Parenthood and so forth. So you have to expose evil. Now, I think it's interesting, though, because we actually get flack because we blur so much out and we bleep out cuss words. So the world's constantly seeing these things, right? And when we show it, we show them what somebody might be singing or saying or whatever lyric. But if there's like, like
Ariana Grande's video.
Yeah. When we blur it out so much. And Tony, you know, for me, how many times do I get in your case saying, blur out even more? You're like, this is like the third or fourth time I blurred out. I go, blur even more out. Because I'm very conscientious of, and a lot of videos, they don't blur anything out. They don't blur out even the bad words. In fact, a lot of these guys, they'll use bad words when they're exposing things at times as well. So, you know, so I go the extra mile as well. But at the same time, we see so much fruit. So it's heartbreaking that he actually reads a scripture that talks about exposing evil, but then says we really shouldn't do it. And then he goes around, goes in and does it anyway himself.
No, I think of specifically people coming in and writing to us and saying, oh, you shouldn't be blurring out or not saying the word CRAP. Or, oh, they're in bikinis. Why are you blurring that out? And we're like, hey, man, we don't want to cause someone to stumble, amen, but we want to also show, and we don't want to this wanting for ignorance and him to be once again be the arbiter of truth. Oh, well, I'll explain to you what's really wicked and what wickedness you're allowed to see. Okay. I'll explain to you here. This wickedness is okay for you to see. Jim Carrey talking this nonsense is okay. Oprah Winfrey, according to him, looking like she's possessed. This is okay. But the stuff that, you know, Joe Schimmel and Goodbye Ministries, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. And he's really bad. You know, this is hypocrisy. And I think that verse is really interesting. The exposing, you know, that you talked about. And I think it's really interesting. You think of Paul, like he didn't become ignorant of the pagan philosophers. He didn't become ignorant of the pagan poets at his time. Three different times he quotes them in scripture.
Yeah.
He was not ignorant
of them. He's conversant of their teaching. He says what they taught and he refutes it. And one time he says one thing is actually in line with scripture, but let me show you the unknown God is, you know?
Yeah. Amen. So I don't believe that the gospel, I don't believe anywhere in the New Testament are we called for such ignorance to only allow certain people to know something. That's what the Catholic Church, as much as he hates it, likes to do. They like to keep people ignorant and that you don't understand. And, you know, you got to read the Bible in Latin as they made people for so many years.
Yeah, it's interesting. Here's the Expositor's Greek Testament, pretty heavy Greek commentary on the Greek, which states of this verse, Ephesians 5:11, in the context, and specifically the word as it's used in that context, it states, the idea, therefore, is that these Christians were not at liberty to deal lightly with such sins or connive at them or be silent about them, but had to speak out against them and hold them up to rebuke with the view of bringing their heathen neighbors to apprehend their turpitude and forsake them. And that's exactly what we do, and that's exactly what we see. All kinds of people forsake their sins and come to Christ. And you know what? The only one that wants to stop us is the devil.
Yeah, amen. Hey, let's play his next clip because he goes on to the next verse.
I was going to say, when I first watched this video, I thought he was going to be talking about how it is we show what we show, but it seemed the whole point was, no, don't show it at all. Because we've had a lot of discussions on, like you said, Joe, people commenting or writing into us, hey, do you need to show this? And then we get the other end of the spectrum. Why don't you show this? So we have we take a lot of care and a lot of prayer on how we edit the videos and what we choose to show and what we choose to blur out. And we have many discussions on that. And that's what I thought he was referring to, on all honesty. I thought he was talking about how it is we show what we show. And you don't need to show all that. And you can have those discussions and those debates, but to say, don't show it at all and just throw it all out.
Yeah, don't expose the wickedness at all is basically what he said. And if you're doing it, that's the big thing. If you listen to this guy's clip, and we played it in the last episode, if you're doing this, you are a minister of Satan. You're a carnal pastor. You're ministering for Satan. You're on his behalf. But I wanted to get more into the next couple scriptures that he talked about. So, Tony, if you could play that clip for us.
Listen to me, people. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Let that sink in. It is a shame just to talk about the things that the world is doing.
Well, before we comment on that, Chad, because I know we're going to have another line of thought.
No.
I just thought it's interesting because think of what he's saying in light of the videos that are on his website. It's a shame to speak of those things that they do in secret. He specifically has, like I mentioned, the one on Roman Catholicism, a video that exposes what's going on in secret and how nuns are being chained to walls in secret.
Right.
And they're dying there and, you know, in 19 torture rooms and everything else. And I'm not saying that's not possibly happening, but and if it's happening, guess what? That needs to be exposed. And it's a shame that you even have to talk about it, but you do if it's happening, you know?
Which he did.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Well,
he did.
Not saying it's happening though, but yeah.
But I think this is really good to talk about this verse because I believe this isolated verse without 11, without 13, without understanding would lend you to believe, it's just a shame.
Without verse 3 where Paul names specific sins.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting that the text from Ephesians 5, just a few verses before. And this is why I think it's really important to ask you these questions because let's deal with these scriptures in context of what Paul is trying to say, what the Holy Spirit is trying to say through Paul in this letter. And I think it is really interesting when we look at that verse. So do you think, you don't think he has, I know you don't, but I'm going to ask you anyways. you don't think it's just a shame to ever even talk about this. So if you even bring it up, that's where you're just a minister of Satan.
Yeah, well, then Paul would be a minister of Satan. Then this guy, by this guy's judgment, he's making Jesus a minister of Satan, because Jesus said, you know, you look at his seven woes in Matthew 23. Yeah. Woe to the Pharisee, he gives reasons their woes. He exposes their darkness, gives all these different reasons. You look at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, you look at chapter 13, it exposes a seven-headed beast and all this really radical imagery of the dragon and seven-headed beast and so forth, and the false prophet and the image of the beast. And you look at Revelation 17 and 18, a whole lot of detail on Babylon the Great, the whore of Babylon. And it's just, you know, this woman dripping with the blood of the saints and so forth. And Jesus exposing it. By his, this guy's criteria, Jesus exposing evil and putting that and showing us the imagery of the wickedness is somehow satanic. No, I'm sorry, because what Jesus is doing is he's exposing what's going to happen in the future. And sometimes the Lord exposes what's happened in the past. In fact, in Ezekiel, he's taken into God tells him to peer through a hole in the temple. He sees what the elders of Israel are doing, and it describes what they were doing and how they were, you know, worshiping certain idols and the detestable things. And then he says, let me show you still greater abominations. And then he shows them greater abominations. He says, let me show you still greater abominations. Was God doing evil? No. Is it shameful for God to bring these things up? Well, it's a shame that we have to talk about them, but these things have to be addressed. But if they're addressed in the context of refuting or rebuking, that's a different context than glorying in them or speaking casually about evil things as though they're not bad. In fact, it's interesting, again, back to the expositor's Greek Testament, because I thought they had some really good commentary on this. They state that regarding the verse, Chad, that you just mentioned, that it is understood this way by some: rebuke these sins openly, for to speak of them in any other term than that of rebuke is shameful. Then they say another, they quote someone else again with a similar view of verse 12, as far as it's a shame to even, you know, speak of these things that they do in secret. Quote, adopting the sense of expose, do not participate in these works, but expose them for the things they do secretly. It is a shame even to mention, but all these things, when exposed by the light, are made manifest in their true character. Now, I want you to listen to the Greek expositor's testament. Their conclusion, after giving those examples of what others have commented, they state in the Greek testament commentary or testament, quote, but the course of thought is simpler than the statements that I just read. The secrecy of the works in question is the reason why they require to be openly reproved. And the point is this: the heathen practice in secret vices too abominable even to mention, all the more is the need for open rebuke instead of silent overlooking and so forth. And it just goes on.
That's a good word.
And it's pretty powerful. And by the way, Chad, could you read verse 13?
Of course. I can read it here. Yeah, but I was gonna actually go over and hear him talk about it first.
Okay, that'd be great.
But just to belabor that same point that you were just belaboring, I was looking at Jameson Fawcett Brown's commentary on this same verse, exactly the same thing that you were talking about from the Expositor's Greek. And the way that they explained it was, quote, I think is used here as speaking of without reproving, in contrast to even reprove them. Thus, the four expresses this: reprove them, for to speak of them without reproving them is a shame. And one of the things they put in parentheses there is Ephesians 5:3, that these terrible things not even be named among you.
Yeah. So the context is because he commands us to expose them. And so it's a shame to speak of them in the context of not reproving them, because Paul speaks of them. Paul goes into great detail. In fact, Paul says a minister must reprove, same word in the Greek, by the way, rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. And guess what? He exposes quite often. In fact, he said that to Timothy, but he tells Timothy about Hymenaeus, or Hymenaeus as we like to say, Alexander the coppersmith. He talks about Philetus. Yeah. He talks about some of the false doctrines where they teach that the resurrection has already come to pass. And he says, and they're overthrowing the faith of some. He's not just saying, hey, those guys are sinners, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You know, he's exposing their sin to them. He's specifically saying what their doctrines are. So that's what we do. We say, hey, this is what the scriptures say. This is what's being said. And we expose things that way because that's what we learn from the scripture. Paul exposes, you know, the Spirit speaks expressly. He says, I believe it's 1 Timothy 4:1, that last time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And he goes on even to identify their false doctrines there as well, is that they'll teach to abstain from certain foods and they'll forbid marriage and what have you. So Paul goes into detail refuting these false doctrines, things that they're shamefully teaching. And it's interesting because Paul also goes after the false doctrine where they teach, others teach in 1 Timothy 6, I believe, that godliness is a means of financial gain, which would apply to the prosperity movement today. We just exposed the prosperity movement in some shows just a little bit back, and we're commanded to expose them. So we just say, hey, just don't listen to certain teachers, but not expose what they're saying and not compare it with scripture. I'm going to tell you right now, you try to witness to people today and these people that are knee deep in or suffocating in all this darkness. You just tell them, oh yeah, you know, Jesus has a great plan for your life, or you need to repent. But what's repent mean? And repent of what? They don't even understand what sin is. So you have to show them that they're lawbreakers. You have to define sin for them. And when they're into a bunch of smut, you have to say, hey, that is smut. You need to call a spade a spade. You need to not say, well, hopefully they just get it someday. You need to expose it. In fact, it's interesting because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would convict the world. And by the way, the word convict is the same word that means is exposed here in Ephesians 5:11. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. And when Paul commands us to expose the works of darkness and be filled with the Holy Spirit, a spirit-filled believer will expose the works of darkness. He'll take care in doing it, and he'll do it in such a way where there's fruit and so forth. But we're not seeing people rush headlong and say, oh, I want this sin now, because we're showing it tamed down versions, at least visually, by blurring things out, cutting out cuss words and things like that. And we're showing what people are saying, and we're matching it with scripture. And it's powerful because these kids get to realize these are idols that they're clinging to. These are idols that they're worshiping, and they need to turn these idols to Jesus and praise God for the fruit that God's been bringing forth.
And before we get to verse 13, it was just making me think when you were talking about that, is reading the Old Testament and reading all of these things in it, and the sin of David and all these horrible things that happened. And we're told by Paul in the book of Romans that everything that was written was for our strength and encouragement, that we might have hope. And we read of all those terrible things because guess what? It gives us a hope. And we can look back at them and say, hey, these are wicked things, all the wicked things over and over. Some of the language that God uses, you know, to describe, you know, Israel's whoredom and things like that. It's like, oh, well, just keep that silent. You know, make sure you're ignorant.
Language that I would blush to use in the pulpit. Amen. I mean, sometimes where he talks about, you know, their idol, what they do to the idols, you know, and so forth. Amen. I mean, God's pretty expressive at times, you know.
Yes. And let's get the last clip going, because I think, honestly, the context of this, we're talking, isolating these verses and still showing them that he's wrong, but I think it'd be good to get the last verse to bring it all in context.
Amen.
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by darkness. Is that what it says? They're made manifest by sharing the evil that the world does in secret. No. They are made manifest by the light.
The light shining on the darkness. That's exactly right.
The light, people. That's all we need, is the light to expose what's going on in darkness, what's going on.
Oh, so you do expose it.
In secret. We don't need to know the details of what they're doing.
Then there's no
just
light.
Just stop that there. Just stop that there.
Poor guy.
You see what I mean, though?
Feel sorry for him, actually.
It is really hard. But, and like I said, if this is just some random lady screaming that you're a Kenite because your mustache, we kind of leave it be and not throw the pearls before swine. But we're talking about reading the comments on there. That's the first thing I did. I care about people being affected and people seeing this, and I'm sorry, this person is biblically illiterate. You cannot look at these texts and come to the conclusions he's coming with, not just that he's a hypocrite, but I think verse 13 just shed so much light on this text. I'd love you to go a little deeper on that.
Well, yeah, but all things become visible. What's the context of all things there? Especially the darkness that we're commanded to expose in verse 11. They become visible when they are exposed by the light. Light doesn't need to be exposed. Light is exposed. But the things that are being exposed, expose the work. No fellowship with them for works of darkness, but rather expose him. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light. That means that what's becoming visible is the darkness is being seen for what it really is. For everything that becomes visible is light. So what's happened is you've shined the floodlight of Jesus' word on this darkness. He said, hey, you know, this person is teaching this, and you got the light of God's word on it, and they can see it and say, wow. You know, and the people, so we go after two different groups of people, as you guys know, since this ministry, since I just first presentation I was doing, I was going after lost people because I only knew lost people. I was the only saved person I knew, and I was trying to win them over to Christ, and I started seeing, wow, their eyes were being opened, that they were in chains of darkness, and they came to Jesus strong. And I've seen them walking with Jesus this day, all these years later. But you know what? I was also, then I began to grow, and I met Christians. I was fellowship with Christians so many months after I got saved, and I realized they're in the same darkness. They don't know it. And so my other objective was sanctification, is seeing professing believers come out of darkness and being separate from the evil in the music that they were listening to and all that. So we're seeing a lot of fruit in that way. And it's interesting because then when the light shines, the floodlight of Jesus on these things and they're seen for what they are, then Satan is seen in his naked deformity in what he's doing. And all of a sudden they realize, man, I'm captive. I need to come to Jesus and praise God, because I'm sure we'll get into the next verse, because the next verse to me is a clinching verse, is the objective we have. But I want to state, since I've quoted the expositor's Greek Testament a few times already, I thought, wow, verse 13, they were really good on that too. And I don't quote a lot of commentaries, but I'm letting our audience know this is how many other people understand these passages as well. Listen to what they say on 5:13. Listen to this. And they're stating their interpretation based on the Greek words and based on the context in which Paul uses them. Listen to this. The sense, therefore, is this. All these shameful things, which are done by them in secret, when they are subjected to the open rebuke, which Christians ought to give them, are laid bare by the light of Christian truth acting in their reproof, so that the doers of them are made to see them in the odiousness or hatefulness of their real nature. For everything that is disclosed in its real colors ceases to be secret and becomes of the nature of light. These things, indeed, are done in secret, but, or yet, they are made manifest and displayed in their true character when you reprove them in the power of Christian truth. And I can say a hearty amen to that, and that's exactly what we do.
And you know what? It's good timing to bring up the last verse that we want to talk about to add to the context, because one of the things that you hear are these three verses isolated by this man to say what he wants them to say. But here is how we see them connected, the previous three verses, to this next verse, which is why Good Fight Ministries exists. And it's right here. Verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen, Joe?
Amen. You know, and that's what we're about, is bringing people to Jesus. And that's the bottom line, is knowing Jesus. Another point along these lines that I think is helpful is, you know, in the scriptures it says in Exodus 13:13, it says, and I think this is just a really, I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 23, verse 13, it mentions that we're not to call on other gods or mention their names. It's a command. Not to call on other gods and don't mention their names. So, and I believe he's saying, you know, don't just, you know, just casually just mention other names. Does he mean that we shouldn't ever use their names, period, and rebuke them? Well, Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 11, God tells Moses to tell the people not to fall into worship of Moloch. So he uses a name, the Lord does. He tells Moses to use a name, but in the context of a reproof or a rebuke. Judges chapter 6 uses Asherah. Judges 6:31 uses Baal. Ezekiel 8:14 uses Tammuz. Acts 19:35 uses the false, the great god Artemis. So over and over again, the prophets use these names in a rebuking way, and it was okay. The context is, it's a shame to talk about these things without a rebuke, but they have to be rebuked and they have to be exposed for what they are. And that is one way we bring people to Jesus, by showing them that they're condemned by God because they've broken his law. And I'm just going to say this. I think this is a really good illustration. Not only condemned because they broke his law, but also we expose the kingdom of darkness so people know that there's a spiritual war and they're held captive. And they'll see that they need to be set free. If you don't know you're a captive to Satan, you don't know you're condemned by God's law because of sin, you're not going to know you need to be set free.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.